the presence of Jesus in this place and in your life. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Let's sing that again. Open the eyes of my heart. That's our prayer.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
See you high.
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. 'Cause freedom reigns in this place. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom
if you're tired and thirsty.
'Cause 'Cause if you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. If you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. Give your all, give your all to Jesus. There is freedom, yeah, yeah. Give your all to Jesus. There is freedom. Freedom reigns, 'cause freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom.
Okay, can you hear me? Okay, great. So I'm Ruth and I'm a member of this church and part of the kids' church team. And my job today is to read out the church updates and things that are going on this week in the Shore community. So welcome if it's your first time, and welcome if you've been coming for ages. Welcome if you're online. It's really nice to see you all and be together and worshipping God and learning new things about him on a bank holiday weekend. Last time I was at the front, I was talking about planting sunflowers as reminders to pray for Ukraine. Has anybody planted sunflowers? Can I have a little show of hands if you've still got a living sunflower? Okay, that's not bad. Well, hopefully, even if you haven't got a living sunflower, you've been using the booklet to pray for Ukraine, which has been really good. If you haven't heard about this before, and you would like a booklet, then please see me afterwards, because we were kind of doing 10 or 11 weeks of prayer plus growing a sunflower. I think we're on about week or 6 or 7 now. But anyway, my sunflowers definitely need planting out. So if anybody has a sunflower that needs planting out and is still alive, because I don't have a very good track record with them, but if you do have a sunflower and you'd like to plant it in the church garden, then next week I'll do a little bit of planting after the service. So if you want to bring your sunflower along next Sunday, then I can plant them out in the garden, and it'd be lovely if we could have a nice display of sunflowers in the garden. But the main thing is use them as a reminder to keep praying for Ukraine. So if you want the booklet, come and see me afterwards. If you're part of the email group, then you should get an email on Thursdays from the church with lots of things that are going on. So if you'd like to get that, then you can sign up online via the website, or you can see Carla or a member of the church leadership afterwards to sign up. So there's lots of things going on that I'm just going to tell you about them and then get the people that know more to wave, so that if you're interested or want to know more, then you can look out for the person waving, okay? So this week we've got a prayer meeting tomorrow on Bank Holiday Monday, and it's on Zoom at 7:45. And if you haven't already had the link detail via the email and you'd like to get the link details, then it would be available from Carla. So Carla, if you want to wave, everybody look around, that's Carla at the back. So if you'd like to join the prayer meeting, see Carla at the end. We've also got a few life groups that are happening. So first one is called Windows of Hope, Reasons to Rejoice. So if that life group title interests you, then please see Richard Starling. Can I get Richard to wave? So Richard's over there. So see Richard Starling. It starts from Monday the 9th of May at 7:30 p.m. and they'll be meeting in the downstairs extension at the back. So see Richard if you'd like to know more details about that. And then the second group, I'm looking for Sylvia Boys. Is Sylvia here today? Sylvia's at the back. So Sylvia's waving. So the second group has already started, but people can still join in, can't they? Yeah? Okay, so people can still join in this group. It's on Tuesdays at 7:30, and that's in the upstairs extension. And it's about the power of repentance and forgiveness. So if that one interests you, go and see Sylvia after the service. And then there's another one, which is every Tuesday, 7 p.m. on Zoom, and it's praying for the persecuted church. And this is Lynn Vale. Where's Lynn? So Lynn's over there. She's waving. So if you'd like to join a Zoom meeting to pray for the persecuted church, see Lynn. Other notices. Nick and Hannah are on parental leave with their new children, and they really appreciate your prayer support still. If you'd like to support them practically, then Julie, can you wave, Julie? The Julie's just there. Julie has organised a meal rota for them, so if you'd like to support them by taking a meal, then see Julie after the service. So we're going to have communion together later on, but with the children and young people in. But if you have children or young people here, there's three different groups. So there's the under fives that meet in the back room. There's the 5 to 11s that meet in the downstairs extension, and there's the youth that meet in the upstairs extension. That's 11 plus for the youth. So for our final wave, could I have everybody involved in children and youth today? And you can see any of the leaders. The youth are, there's Alistair Youth, Amanda for the little ones, Juliet and myself. Oh, youth are staying in. Thank you. Youth are staying in this week, okay? So forget anything I said about youth.
Did you see Alistair looking scared for a second?
I saw Alistair waving and I thought, that must mean that must mean youth are in. Youth are staying in, so if you're 11 plus, stay in. Under 11, then do you want to say something about youth?
Okay. Hello. Youth is definitely in the church, or it can be upstairs, but there's nothing prepared. But we are having a youth leaders meeting after church, so you don't have to be a leader to come to that meeting. If you want to be involved in youth, if you're already involved in youth, please come, because we're talking about what we're thinking about doing for the future. But also, if you kind of hear me and think, youth, oh, that's just me, then come. Or even if you think, youth, that could be me. Come along, because we are short of helpers. There's just a couple of us leading on Sunday and Friday. So, you know, it would be a real blessing to us if you could come along to that. So after the service, we're going to meet, kind of look for me, and where I am is where we'll meet. I think it'll be the answer. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Oh, that's great, thank you. So is all that clear? Yeah, great. Okay, so let's just pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this lovely community of people here and online this morning. Thank you for all the people who are organising all these amazing prayer and life groups and supporting each other practically. I just want to pray that you'll fill this building this morning with your Holy Spirit and come and meet each person here. I just pray your blessing on Sunday morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're now going to take up our offering, which is to support the work of the church. And I've got four volunteers, you three at the front, and who will come and send round the baskets, if that's okay. Thank you.
Just while the baskets are going round, we're going to prepare ourselves to start coming around the tables and share communion together. This is a wonderful opportunity for us to share this meal together. Like I said several times over the last few weeks, you know, Jesus didn't give us a rule book. He didn't give us a whole bunch of rules, didn't give us a whole bunch of hoops to jump through. What Jesus gave us was a meal. Jesus says, come and sit round the table with me. Think of the number of times in the Gospels where the least likely people were the people that Jesus said, I want to have dinner at your house. Imagine your house right now. Maybe your house is really, really clean and tidy and ready. Maybe you've got rubbish everywhere. Maybe you've got nothing in the fridge. Maybe you've got, you know, imagine if Jesus said right now, I'm going to come and have dinner at your house. Would our reaction be one of, quick, run home 10 minutes before and then fly around the house tidying up really quickly? Probably, it would, wouldn't it? But we know that that's just not what Jesus is interested in. When Jesus said to Zacchaeus up in the tree, when Jesus said to the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the sinners and said, I'm going to come to your house. Or you could read it another way. He asked them to come around to his house when he had a house in Capernaum. Come around to my house, just as you are. You don't have to be wearing your best. Rush home, get cleaned up, you know, put on your best clothes, borrow your sister's frock. I don't do that, by the way. I don't know why that jumped into my head. Concerning. Joe's giving me the move on look. I'm moving on. We don't have to do that. That's not what Jesus is looking for. He's not looking for us to run around our house and tidy everything up. He's not looking for us to suddenly claw our life together and suddenly be this kind of picture postcard perfect Sunday Christian. It's not what it's about. He says, come to my house and have a meal. Come into my presence and have a meal. Or better still, I'm going to come to your house and I know what it's like. I know what your life is like. I know what you're going through. I know what you're struggling with. I still want to sit down with you and have a meal. I just want to be your friend. That's good news, isn't it? Isn't that good news? So what we're going to do now is, just as Jules plays some music, no highfalutin words. Nothing kind of starchy or stiff. There's a time and a place for that. There's a time for ceremony. There's a time for ritual. There's a time for kind of really focusing on the aesthetics of what we're doing. But today what I want us to do is just a family come around the table with Jesus. You can come around as families or as with whoever you came with. You can serve one another. Have a look out for any folks who perhaps might struggle physically to get up, and maybe you could offer to come and serve them, bring some food to them. Let's just come round now as Jules carries on playing. Help yourself to the bread and the wine. Take it, eat it. Let that be that prayer in your heart, that moment of thinking. As you eat and as you drink, just think, I'm having a meal with my friend Jesus. Isn't that good news? Come on up, folks, whenever you're ready.
Was praying this morning, God started speaking to me about his presence with us and his spirit and what it's like, and he spoke about the small still voice, not in the thunder and not in the lightning and not in the noise. And then he talked to me about being still before God. And I looked at Psalm 46, and we know the verse about be still and know I am God. And we think that's about resting, and it is partly, but it's about action. And if you listen to the scripture in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. When earthquake comes and mountains crumble, I don't have to fear. It talks about The nations are in chaos and mountains melt. But it also talks about that God dwells in the city, and the city is us. We are who he dwells in. He is our refuge and our strength. He is that still place. And he showed me a picture of action where you step out of one thing into the other. And in this 24/7 loud place, God's spirit is with us and we have to step into it. And he is our refuge and our strength this morning. So just want to encourage you to step into God's presence this morning, because he is here.
Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, through it all, are on you. Through it all, through it all, it is well. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well with me. In my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. Oh, you say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I'm weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe, oh, yes, I believe what you say of me. Oh, I believe, and I believe, oh, yes, I believe what you say of me. Oh, I believe. The only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. In you I find my worth, in you I find my identity. Oh, oh, you say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe, oh, yes, I believe what you say of me. Oh, I believe, and I believe, oh, what you say of me. Oh, I believe. Taking all I have and now I'm laying it at your feet. You have every failure, God, and you'll have every victory. Oh, yeah, you say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I'm weak. And you say I am held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, oh, you say I'm yours, and I believe, oh, yes, I believe what you say to me. Oh, I believe, yes, I believe, oh, yes, I believe what you say to me.
Thank you, Jesus, that you have spoken the final word over us. You have welcomed us as friends. You have declared and you have revealed the true heart of the Father towards us, that we are loved, that we are children of the living God. I pray for every one of my brothers and sisters here now that regardless of the other voices that have spoken things over them, even the voices in our minds that speak a different word, a different truth, a condemnatory word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would rise up in us right now and you would speak the truth. You would silence the lies. You would show us a better path. You would be a lamp unto our feet. You would guide our steps, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Let us hear your words. Let us receive your words deep into our hearts, Lord. Speak, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us now through our sister Sarah. It's a real pleasure today to welcome Sarah Butler from the Salvation Army. Matt preached with us a little while ago. Yeah, you can whoop. Whooping is good. Whoop, 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 whoop. Matt preached a while ago and he was really good, wasn't he? No pressure. But you know, he was the warm-up. Now we've got the real McCoy. Once again, let's just give a really warm welcome to Sarah this morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here, and thank you so much for the warm welcome that I've received today. It's a real privilege to come and share with you and to bring God's word to you. And before I start, I just want to pray. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome here, and we thank you for the work you've already done in us this morning. And Lord, as we open our hearts to hear from your word, I pray that your words will be my words, that my words will be your words, that I'll get out of the way so that you can just show up and do what you need to do this morning. So Jesus, we give this time to you. Speak, Lord. We are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. So as has been said, I'm Sarah. I'm married to Matt. I have two children, two teenagers, Sam and Elise. Some of you will know those members of my family or some of those members of my family. And so I've been a Salvation Army officer or minister, vicar, whatever you want to call me, for nearly 18 years. I know, they do take us very young. And through my ministry, I've ministered as a church leader in Wales and as a youth regional youth officer in Wales in two places, in Barry. Anyone that's watched Gavin and Stacey, we were there. Not exactly at the time, but, you know, I know their haunts. And then I moved over to Carmarthen in West Wales. And then we were placed up to Glasgow. We don't get to choose, we get sent. So equal trepidation and excitement in any sense in February when you might get an email that says you're on the move and you're going to, and you hope you've heard of the place. But we went to Glasgow. We spent 8 years in Glasgow restarting the work of the Salvation Army right in the centre in Anderston there. And then in 2018, we were posted here in Bognor. So we've been here for nearly 4 years. And as well as being the local church leader with Matt, my husband, I also oversee the Fresh Expression planting and church planting within the Salvation Army across Sussex and Kent. So my job is to support other people who are just starting out in church planting within the Salvation Army, thinking of new things, going where God is sending them. So that's another part of my job as well. So yeah, I'm quite busy. Now I'm wondering if I could have a couple of people to... younger people, because I was told the youth were staying in. So who likes to do little jigsaw puzzle type things? You can work in little groups. I just need two people to open these envelopes and see if they can work out what is in them. And of course I do know the names. Oh, I was gonna say, I knew your two names anyway. These are good friends of my children. So you can choose who does number one and who does number two. We'll be looking at that a bit later. So you can just get on and do that while I'm speaking. That's fine. So this morning I want to talk about being a missional disciple. What does it mean to be a missional disciple? With the phrase there, we reach out because God has reached out. We reach out because God has reached out. So there's two words there, mission and disciples. And I was just wondering, what does mission actually mean? Now, it's a word that's not just used by church, it could be used by anybody. It could mean an assignment, to have purpose, vocation, a calling. But of course, in the church, we can start to think of the Missio Dei, the mission of God. The fact that God is a missional God, that God sent himself out. He sent Jesus. And missio, or mission, means sent one. Apostle means sent one. And so to have mission means to be sent for a purpose, for something that God is calling us to do. And in general terms, it can be a very specific mission that we're called to do, but in general terms, it's about bringing about the kingdom of God on earth. Bringing about the kingdom of God on earth. And we see this right at the start of Scripture in Genesis 1 and 2, where God created the world. That was the first mission. God created the world. And since then, God has been working in our world as a missionary. And as we know, he sent his son Jesus to show us that what God's kingdom was all about. So we're starting to think about what God's mission is. But the other word in my phrase that I want to look at today, mission is not primarily an activity of the church, but an attribute of God, and God is a missionary God. In other words, mission is not just something we do as one little part of being church. It has to be everything that we do. Mission is all-encompassing because God is a missionary God. And then we move into disciple, the other word. So it could be a follower, a learner, a pupil, an apprentice. Now, the next one is for Star Wars fans. Padawan. Anyone who knows my family knows that Star Wars is a big thing. If you've been to my house and you've seen my son's room, which I know Woody has, how much Lego has Sam got? Don't even answer. Just don't go there. But yeah, my son is a Star Wars fanatic, has been since he was tiny. And so, although I couldn't tell you all the intricate names of all these creatures and people in it, I do understand the basic premise of Star Wars. And one of the things in Star Wars is this idea of apprenticeship, Padawan, they call it. But it's almost like a discipleship. And when I talk to Sam about discipleship, he says, well, you know, in Star Wars, when so-and-so just takes someone under their wing and they train them and they help them and they help them to grow and they learn from their master, and you've got master and apprentice. And really, disciples like that, isn't it? Being a disciple is having a master, and we're the apprentice, we're the learner, or Padawan, if that's a better word for you, then go for it. And we see in the Bible, there are the named disciples, but there are many more disciples in the Bible. And it's all about our formation in Christ, who we are in Christ. It's about spiritual disciplines. What do we do to maintain that relationship with Christ? About prayer and worship, about reaching out, about our whole life being an act of worship, as it says in Romans 12. Now, Salvation Army is known as a holiness movement, a holiness church. And one of the old songs that would be sung even now would have this line, "To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me." Does that hope to be like Jesus possess you this morning? Do you really want to be like Jesus? Is being a Christian for you about being like Jesus? Does that hope possess you today? Because being a disciple or being a Christian, because as a Christian you are a disciple, is about more than just knowing that Jesus loves you. It's thinking about how does your redemption, your salvation, influence your relationship with the world? Because in your redemption and my redemption is found the redemption of the whole world. Because God wants us, you and I and the church, to channel his eternal purposes to redeem the world. And that is what missional discipleship is. It's being in the world. It is showing up with the kingdom values of God. So we're going to go to scripture where God instructs us. Now, there are many, many scriptures I could have chosen, but I've chosen a couple that are quite relevant to this time of year, just after Jesus appearing to his disciples. And in John chapter 20, he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And at the end of Matthew's gospel as well, we see that Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So two scriptures there that give those commandments of going out, but knowing that God goes before us. And so as we think of this phrase, missional disciple, it could be that we're thinking about to follow the example of Jesus, and his mission is to bring about the kingdom of God in our lives and in our communities. You see, just turning up on a Sunday, coming to church, turning up and thinking, "That's it, I've ticked my being a Christian box this week, I've done it for this week. Thank you very much. I can now do what I want to do for the rest of the week. Doesn't matter because I've been to church. Therefore, that's great." Is that really what a disciple's about? Just turning up to something once a week? I've shown my face. Do our work colleagues see Jesus in us? Do our neighbours see Jesus in us? Do our friends notice those kingdom values within us? Do the family that we live with see a different person to the person we are on a Sunday morning? These are challenging things and challenging thoughts. But to be a missional disciple, to be a Christian really, that's what I'm talking about, is this whole life approach. It's about bringing about the kingdom values in our own lives at first, but then reaching out to others to demonstrate God's kingdom values in our world. To see where God is working in our communities, amongst our friends, amongst those that might not even know who God is. And pointing out, that was Jesus at work there. That was Jesus doing that. Did you notice God had that sorted for you? Now, I've asked my friends to do a couple of jigsaws for us. How successful? Oh, very good. Now, one of you had an instruction sheet or a sheet to copy with. The other one didn't. You've both done really well. I knew they were in safe hands. Now, Finley, would you like to read out some of the words that are on your thing? I'm going to show them up on a screen as well, but would you like to read them out?
Dominion, brutality, cruelty, lack, mistrust, hate, sadness, indifference, selfishness, and warmongering.
Thank you. So these would be values of our world. Things that, when we look in our broken world, we notice these things. It's not great, is it? Woody,
would you like to read your one, please? Faith, sharing, love, compassion, joy, peacemaking, abundance, equality, mercy, gentleness.
Thank you. You can go and sit down. Thank you. Just leave those there. Thank you. So surely they are our kingdom values. Some of those values, there are many more, but those words, they're what we want in our world, aren't they? The faith, the love, the peacemaking, the gentleness, the humility, all those things that we long to see in our communities, we long to see in our own lives and in the lives of those around us and in the world at large. That's our hope, isn't it? That's what we would like. And I purposefully gave Finley a sheet to copy from because it is so easy to follow the world, isn't it? Because it's all around us. It's so easy to get wrapped up in, well, everyone else is doing it, so I may as well do that. Because that's what the world's like nowadays. It's just how we are. It's 21st century. That's life. Yet, we know in our hearts we should follow those kingdom values. And sometimes they're not as apparent to us. And yet, in God's word, if we look closely, if we study, if we read God's word, if we listen to God's heart, it enables us to have those kingdom values and to be those missional disciples in our world with those kingdom values. Now I'm going to share with you a video. This is called The Jesus Pattern. I'm just going to let you watch this and then we're going to think a bit more about these things.
To be a disciple means we're learning to be like Jesus, growing in his character while learning to do the things he could do, developing his competencies. It's about character and competency. To do this, we increasingly pattern our life after the life of Jesus. So one of the questions we have to ask is how Jesus would pattern his life if he had your job, if he had your personality type, your family situation, lived where you lived, or made the same amount of money that you make. When we examine the life of Jesus in the Gospels, what we see emerge is a particular way of relating to the world around him. He is very intentional in how he used his time to invest in certain kinds of relationships. It's the pattern of his whole life and ministry. Put another way, Jesus had three great loves that his entire life oriented around. In Mark 9, 2 through 29, we see Jesus go up a mountain to pray. But this wasn't abnormal for Jesus, was it? Throughout his life, he was constantly getting away from the crowds and everyone else to spend time with his first love, attending to the upward dimension of his life, his relationship with his Father. We then see him come down the mountain and run straight into the people he's investing his life into, his disciples. Jesus was never ambiguous about who his spiritual family was. In attending to the inward dimension of his life, Jesus spent more than 50% of his time with just his spiritual family and no one else. But then he steps out into the full brokenness of the world, driving out an evil spirit from a troubled boy. Jesus attends to the outward dimension by dealing with sin head on. He's concerned with how sin affects individuals, how each person is separated from God because of their sin and doomed because of it. and he's concerned that when you get a bunch of sinful people together, they create systems of sin and injustice. Sin creates individual problems and communal problems. Jesus stepped out and brought hope to both. Three great loves. He was deeply connected to his Father. He was constantly investing in those his Father had given him to disciple and to be spiritual family with. And he entered into the brokenness of the world with good news and asked for a response individually and communally. To be disciples of Jesus, we pattern our life in the same way that Jesus did, up, in, and out. Most people are naturally good at one. They're okay at a second, and they're fairly bad at a third. But rather than simply playing to our strengths, we commit to be learners. The invitation of Jesus is to pattern our life after his, to learn his ways, and to let his power be made perfect in our weakness. But we also recognize that because a collection of Christians is the body of Jesus, we want the full expression of Jesus, not just parts of it, so that these three dimensions saturate community life as well. Whether it's a group of 8 people or a group of 8,000, when a group of people is committed to truly being the body of Jesus, the Holy Spirit begins stoking the fires of a red-hot center by which people can't help but be drawn into the warmth of. When we have a spiritual family learning to live into up, in, and out in a communal way, people the Lord has prepared can't help but be drawn in because this community is the gospel made visible.
So the Jesus pattern in our lives. How would Jesus' life looked if he lived your life? That was one of the questions at the beginning of that video. Because sometimes we can think, oh, well, it'd be easy if I had a different life, different job, different family, different anything. But how would Jesus live your life? Therefore, how should I live my life following Jesus' pattern? And in that, we had those three different areas that Jesus focused on. He looked up. He spent time with his Father in heaven. He loved God. He looked inward with his spiritual family, his disciples. He loved his disciples. But he also went out into the world, out into to those who didn't know about God's kingdom. And he loved those who were beyond. And Jesus did all of these throughout his life. If you look in the Gospels, if you read the Gospels and you read the stories of Jesus, you will see that he went away and spent time with God, his Heavenly Father. Often he couldn't be found. He spent a lot of time with the disciples, probably about half of his time, teaching, being an example, helping them to understand what this whole idea of the kingdom of God was all about. And he went out, he healed, he ministered, he preached. He was there with people. And these things are not completely distinct from each other. They are interactive, they're interconnected, and they're intentional. And what does this mean for us? You see, if we pattern our lives on Jesus, if we look at Jesus as being the ultimate master that we are a disciple of, the person that we want to pattern our lives on, then we also should love God. That should be part of our lives, spending time with God. How do we do that? How do we show that we love God? How do we spend time with God? That will be different for each one of us. We each have a different way in which we connect with God, some through music and song, some through stillness and silence, some through nature, some through action and doing. But however you connect with God, make sure you spend time with him. And with each other, when do we spend time loving each other? We had a beautiful time of communion, that time when we are together as God's family, that time when we can share. And that communion continues when we have tea and coffee after fellowship, or where we might spend time with each other in our life groups or in other areas in which we may just meet up for a coffee. But how do we spend time loving and serving each other? And thirdly, the outward. This could be our mission as well. But who are our neighbours? Who are the people that God is sending you to? Because mission is not always about giving up everything and moving to another country or another town and doing that. That is a great mission. But that's not for everybody. But God does have a mission for each one of you. He has a mission field for you. It might be at school with your friends. It might be at work with your colleagues. It might be with your neighbours that you live with. It might be with family members who don't yet know who Jesus really is. It might be the person that you sit on the bus with every week, or the supermarket person that serves you every week. But who is God laying on your heart that you have to go and share those kingdom values with? And again, for us, these three things, they're not distinct, but they're all interactive and they're interconnected. There's so many crossovers, as that diagram shows us. And so as we think about being missional disciples, and we think about that upward, inward and outward pattern, and we think, if the purpose of God's mission is to help people see and experience the kingdom of God, and if the way that we do that is through initiating and building relationships, then we need to find ways in which people can journey with us on the way to experience that inward, upward, and outward life in forms that they can experience, relate to, and learn from. So what these people that God has laid on our hearts, what will they relate to? Because it might not always be coming on a Sunday morning straight up for somebody. That might be a little bit too much for some of your people that you know that aren't really in church just now. But it might be going for a walk with them. It might be sharing over coffee time in your work break. We have to gauge how ready people are to hear the mission of God, to hear the story of God. There's always a beginning point. And most often that's simply a hello, how are you? And it's hearing someone's story and asking God to show you a way in. Asking God, what does this person need to hear from you today? Do they need just to know that you love them? That they are valued? But who are these people that God is laying on your heart? And how are you going to reach them? And of course, if we ourselves have this rhythm of life across these three circles, these three areas, the upward, inward and outward, then people we start conversations with and build relationships with, they will start to learn what the kingdom of God looks like and what their life could look like if they were a follower of Jesus, because they catch it as we journey with them, modelling and sharing this life. Because we're like trailers. I don't know if you've ever been to the cinema, and if you get there early enough to have your popcorn or whatever, you get to sit down, you get a bit of a breather. It might have been a bit of a rush to get there. You get a chance to sit down. You get the ads, don't you? And you think, oh, goodness. Then you get the trailers. So these are the bits you're really looking forward to. What am I going to come and see after this one? And some trailers are amazing, aren't they? And you get to the end of the trailer, unless you're Matt, my husband, who falls asleep in them. Just saying. But you get to the end of the trailer, and we're like whispering to each other, oh, let's go and see that. Because it's so exciting, isn't it? You know, they show the best bits, the best comedic quotes, or the best bit of action. And you see the trailers, and you really want to see that film. And as Christians, our lives are trailers to those who observe us. our lives as followers of Jesus are the trailer that those people in our communities and in our workplaces and in our schools who don't yet know who Jesus is for them, our lives are the trailers for them to see. It's what we do that they're looking at and they're going, well, I know they go to church. What is it that's different about them? How is it that they're so kind? How is it that they remembered my birthday? Or they thought to ask me about that thing I was sharing about last week. What is it? Why do they act like that? What is it that's different? Because our lives are that trailer, aren't they? If we're doing this stuff, if we are living that disciple life, if we are being missional disciples, then our lives become trailers for other people to see God's kingdom here at work in the world. And so this is my challenge for you this morning. I don't know where you are on your journey with Jesus. Maybe you don't even know. And that's okay. And you might be thinking at these, going, well, you know, in the video it said, you know, some of them we could be really strong on one of these. And maybe one of them you really, oh yes, I can do that. I really know how to love God. I can really get involved with that. And I know what I'm doing with that. And then you're like, I'm okay at that one. But that other one, no clue where to even start. And we could leave it there. We could say, well, that's okay. I'm at least good at one of them. I can live with not being so good at another. Or we can say, that's an area I'm going to develop. That's an area I need to work on. That's an area, God, I need your help with. That's an area where I need to go back to Scripture and see what Jesus did. How did Jesus reach out? How did Jesus spend time with his disciples? How did Jesus spend time with God? So my challenge is, which of these circles is least strong for you personally? Which is the one you need to work on the most? Which is not natural for you? Where do you need that supernatural Holy Spirit's power to encourage you, to engage you, to equip you? And what about your church? Which of these needs work on? I don't know. I'm not here every week. What needs to change both in your own life and maybe corporately as well? Where do we need to reprioritize? And how can you create for yourself and for others this integrated rhythm of upward, inward, and outward life together? There's a challenge for us. And if you feel that the Holy Spirit is really speaking to you this morning, and I pray that he is, then we're just going to take a moment just to be quiet, just to listen from God. You can respond where you are, or if it's helpful sometimes to make a public response, then you can come and stand or even kneel. If you want to say, yes, I need to work on this. I need to work on my discipleship in this area. So, Holy Spirit, will you just speak to us? Speak to our hearts. Challenge us, we pray. Show us those areas that need your intervention. Show us those areas that we need to ask you to encourage and equip and strengthen us. And this morning we come to you, Lord Jesus, and we lay our lives before you again. We thank you that you are the perfect example of a missional disciple, and that we can follow your example, your pattern for our lives. So as we think about how we love God, how we love each other, and how we move out to demonstrate your kingdom values to those outside. Lord, reveal to us what your Holy Spirit is saying to each one of us this morning. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Sarah. That was amazing. I wonder what God is particularly laying on your heart in this moment. What are those areas? Because we can respond right now. We can respond this week. We can dig deeper into what God has for us. Let's just worship together with this one song, this final song. As we make this our prayer, our desire, we want to glorify the name of Jesus in the whole earth, don't we? Lord, let your name be glorified in the whole earth.
Father, we love you. We worship and adore you, glorify your name in all the earth, glorify your name, glorify your name, glorify.
Last time, let's sing, glorify his name.
Glorify his name. Glorify his name. Glorify his name in all the earth.
Lord, we long to glorify your name in all the earth, Lord. Glorify your name in our lives, Lord, and that can sound like a tough order sometimes, but Lord, you are doing something amazing in every single one of us. Lord, I pray that we would lean into that process. We would trust the process of how you are transforming us and fitting us more to be like Jesus every day as we follow you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, give us more of yourself. Give us more of your power, more of your strength. Guide our steps. Give us your redemption, Lord, your renewing and washing each day, Lord, as we seek to become more like Jesus. And we ask that in his precious name. Amen. Amen.